Part 6, Chapter 7. They were aloft at last, flying just to the east of north, rising rapidly to an altitude of over 10 miles. Turl loomed over the control panel, silent and withdrawn. Johnny sat at the co-pilot console, the seatbelt wrapped around him twice, air mask tending to mist. It was growing very cold in the flight cab. They were late getting off because Turl had personally gone over every fitting and unit of the plane as though suspicious that someone might have sabotaged it. The actual ship number was 18 digits long and only ended in 91. It was an old ship, a cast-off from some war on some other planet, and it showed its scars in dents and sears. It had a forward flight compartment, like any freighter, but it was armored and fitted with batteries of air-to-air and air-to-ground blast guns. The huge body of the plane, now empty, was fitted to carry not ore, but 50 company attack troops. There were huge benches, bins for supplies, racks for their blast guns. There were many ports, all armored. The plane had not carried troops or even been flown for ages. Seeing that breathe gas compression would be off in the compartment, Johnny had thought it might be better to ride there. But Turl put him in the co-pilot seat. Now he was glad. This altitude probably had little air in it, and the cold was seeping into the cab with icy fingers. Below them, the mountains and plains spread out, apparently not moving at any great speed, even though the plane was well above hypersonic. Soon, Johnny knew he was looking at the top of the world. Pale green, misty sea and white fastnesses of ice were all across the northern horizon. They were not going to cross the North Pole, but nearly. The chattering console computer was rolling itself out a tape of their successive positions. Johnny looked at it. They were turning in a curve to head more easterly.
"Where are we going?"
said Johnny. Turl didn't answer for some time. Then he yanked an intergalactic mining chart of the planet from a seat pocket and threw it at Johnny.
"You're looking at the world, animal. It's round."
Johnny unfolded the chart.
"I know it's round. Where are we going?"
"Well, we're not going up there,"
said Turl, pointing a talon toward the north.
"That's all water in spite of its looking solid. Just ice. Don't never land there. You'd freeze to death."
Johnny had a chart open. Turl had drawn a red, curving course line from the area of departure, up across a continent, then across a large island, and then down to the top of another island. Typical of a mining map, it was all in numbers and without names. He translated rapidly in his head back to Chinko geography. Using ancient names, the course lay up over Canada, across the top of Greenland, past Iceland, and down to the north tip of Scotland. On the mine map, Scotland was 89-72-13.